Hello and welcome to the Alive Digital Humans and Their Organizations podcast. My name is George Seiler from the Ludic Group. This series explores themes and topics relating to all things digital and the shift we're all experiencing as the digital era impacts our lives everywhere. This episode is brought to you by the authors of the book, Alive, Digital Humans and Their Organizations, published by Novaro and available on Amazon Kindle and all good bookstores near you. And we're joined by the authors, Garrick Jones.
Hi there.
And Paul Ashcroft.
Hello.
Paul, tell me about leading in a digital world.
Digital is changing everything in the way we live, the way we work. In fact, even maybe what it means to be human. How do humans thrive in a connected world, and how do leaders lead? Garrick, what do you think?
Well, we wrote this in our book. Here's a paragraph. Leading a digital organization requires a different set of skills and behaviors. The playing field has changed and new rules are in place. At present, many leaders believe that they sit at the top of hierarchies that do their bidding. Within the digital realm, they are simply a single node in a vast digital web of connections. Many leaders today are still playing chess, when in fact they need to be playing Go. In the past, a leader needed to have a clear vision and the personal firepower to make it happen. Today, leaders need a new set of skills. They need to be media savvy, technology savvy, as well as digital business savvy. They are managing a shifting ecosystem and need to be able to demonstrate clear leadership even as the business continually changes around them.
So in the book, we talk about digital humans. In many ways, we're all digital humans now.
We are all digital humans now. We are anybody who has a mobile phone and is online for any length of time in the day is part digital.
And the world that we live in has become so connected that in many ways it could be considered alive.
The whole network of the internet is mutating and evolving and changing continuously, that it has living characteristics. Mm. It lives and breathes and thrives in its own way. It's fed. Yeah, it creates things.
And what does that mean for leadership?
Things have shifted fundamentally, whereas they used to, and may have been trained to, sit at the top of a pyramid where they've got loads of people doing their bidding. That pyramid has changed fundamentally. Everybody at the top of the organization is as connected to everybody who may be lower down in the organization. And this has a huge impact on what you as a leader need to do to effect change and create the conditions for success.
In addition to that, it's becoming far more important to provide the type of work and the type of organization that people actually want to work for. And so we're seeing a need for leaders to radically personalize the kind of work experience that they're providing, whether that's in terms of the contracts, the nature of the work, the learning they're providing, tailoring it far more to each individual employee.
So not only has the entire shape of organizations changed, but the kind of way that you interact with your people in the organization is shifted.
So what are some of the lessons that leaders can take in this digital world?
Well, we don't know if it's about lessons so much as implications, but we wrote in our book about the things we think are most important to pay attention to as leader in the digital realm. And one of the ways we illustrated that was to use old and ancient metaphors from history, because we believe that change has always been with us and always will be with us. And we have faced, as humanity, huge epoch shifts in the past, and we've dealt with them. These things are not to be feared. They're meant to be addressed and to be dealt with.
So, for example, one of the main challenges faced by leaders and organizations is as they become ever more networked, they become like a labyrinth of connections and pathways and knowledge. And making it visible and making it clear for everybody who works there what their role is and how they can usefully contribute becomes ever more difficult.
It becomes the role of the leader to allow people to know where they are in the process of change or what's going on as the organization tracks towards its goal, and becomes part of the role of the leader to signpost where they're coming from, where they're going, and where they are now.
In the, remember the your Greek mythology, Theseus, when lost in the labyrinth and faced with the Minotaur, what saved him was Ariadne's red thread. which allowed him to know where he was and create a path as he progressed so he could find his way back out of the maze. And it's a similar way for leaders today, creating that spine that's visual that helps people navigate as they're working together, even though they're not together.
Have you seen it elsewhere?
Well, we think that there's a larger requirement for organizations to work at scale and volumes and at unimaginable speed than ever before. And the thing that's changed is that people are able to be involved and collaborate together at a scale that we've never experienced in our history. And digital provides not only the opportunities for groups to communicate and work more effectively around the world, but it also provides the opportunities for groups to create and collaborate together. This not only builds trust into the system, but people buy into what they build, we believe. It's one of the reasons why design thinking, for example, is so important. Those processes of working together, researching together, ideating, and then prototyping and deciding and moving forward as you move into the real. It's digital allows us to do that on a global level. You might have people making medical aids who are based here in London, and there's another team in Delhi, and certainly another team in Rotterdam, and another team in the United States. And they're all working on the same files and all working around the clock to collaborate and get things done together.
What helps in this is to take a modular thinking approach, or as we talk about it in the book, adaptability. Mm. So the way of working in which skills, processes, technology can be plugged in and swapped out as needed. This allows organizations to test and learn very rapidly.
We've heard in some of the other series in this podcast series that all organizations are essentially becoming software organizations, no matter what they're doing, no matter what kind of organization they're. We talk about in the book about our sandwich shop example, where in the future, the organization may simply be creating apps that enable their employees to get things done, to communicate with each other, to learn, to share information, and to have information shared with them on a rapid, real-time scenario.
You mean like a digital companion?
It's a completely digital companion. And the role of leadership is to plug and play with those apps as needed, update them, and ensure that people can achieve what they needed to. And the whole thing is controlled and accounted for through the series of modular apps that are put into place. One of the other skills that we think for leaders is the ability to improvise and to allow people to have the languages that allow them to work together wherever they are. And by language, we specifically think about things like the language of music. For example, jazz was invented by Miles Davis and George Russell in the United States in New York 1930s. They created a fabulous theory of jazz, which once learned allows any jazz musician to sit down with any other around the world and play standards together. And this is a theoretical basis which allows a very complex set of outcomes to underpin all the work that they do together as jazz musicians. And we think that work is going to become like that in the future.
So a framework and a language, and then from within that, you can express yourself and
correct
and we move as you need to.
And we call this a generative language. That is, like seeds planting and DNA, it has an outcome. And the important thing is that leaders need to understand these languages and how these languages can be created to have the outcomes that they want to achieve within their particular tribe.
So in the future, we will probably need leaders to be more like jazz players than the conductors conducting the orchestra. These sorts of things are all about how leaders help their organization to make decisions and execute. Another area that we feel is changing dramatically is how to engage and motivate a distributed organization that is working from anywhere, anytime, all over the world for a global organization.
Things have changed a lot. I mean, we used to bring people together into workplaces. People are working distributed ways, many from home, all over the place. And when people do come into workplaces, the kinds of workplaces they're coming into are changing dramatically. One of the examples that we have in the past is the idea of the Agora, which was the central place in which the Greeks would come and meet every afternoon after they'd been to the gymnasium. And they would move around and talk and deal with the problems of the city and deal with the big questions of the day, from moving towards what needed to be voted on. What hasn't changed is that we still need an agora online or a platform or a place where we can all continue the conversation, continue to move the ideas forward that need to be dealt with.
And one of the things we've seen that's particularly challenging at the moment is that connection between the physical and the virtual environments in which people are working. Often the experience that people have of work is very different when they're working online as when they're in the office. And we are seeing the best organizations are the ones that are creating a seamless working experience, no matter where and how people need to connect and collaborate with each other.
So putting people at the heart of it at all times.
Sure. And not only does it mean that the best organizations will be using apps and shifting software to get things done, they will provide a software environment that is attractive and allows groups to get things done. That becomes a competitive advantage.
Yeah, I mean, essentially what we're saying is the environment facilitates, whether that environment is a physical space, whether it's a virtual space, or a mix of the two. Mm-hmm. You think of Lisbon and how Lisbon was reconstructed following its earthquake. It was reconstructed as a town to facilitate trade, essentially, with the central space to meet and for commerce to be done. Mm. But coming off that and surrounding it was the makers' cottages and the artisans' workshops and all the things that were required to facilitate trade. I mean, so Lisbon became a powerhouse of Europe in those days.
So this was in 1750s or so, wasn't it, this earthquake?
Yeah, in the Marquis de Pombal. But the physical spaces we now have are becoming programmable as much as our software environments. That is, the kinds of workplaces we're inhabiting when we do get together are flexible environments which allow production to take place. As Paul talks about, the seamless need to have physical environments and online environments.
And coherence between the two. So the tools and apps and the processes that people are using are coherent and work together, and that they make sense of people. Another thing we've found that works is the ability to work through a creative process that allows complementary skills and knowledge to be brought together towards a common outcome. And one of the tips or tricks that we know work is about how the team working together visualize in a very real way at every step of their development.
We talk about in the book building beautiful things, which is a little bit like ensuring that all the work that is done at every step in a creative process, whether it's decision-making or service-led or product-led or whatever, is done to a high degree of quality. And the reason why is because if you're working with distributed groups of people, building beautiful things at every step along the way builds trust. And the more distributed you are, the more difficult it is to ensure trust between people. We think building beautiful things is one of the kind of little languages that needs to be in place that will define the way that work is done in the future.
Mm. And how do you enable that consistency of quality?
It's a good question, that. I think part of the leader's remit is to provide the context for which that quality can be provided, to provide the tools which that quality can be provided, and to provide the motivation for people to want to deliver at that level.
Another example of where leaders are being successful in engaging and motivating is by using games and playing games. And whilst it could be seen as a frivolous activity or something that's not value for money, what we've seen is when that's done well, it can be absolutely transformational.
I think it boils down to learning again. One of the key competitive advantage requirements of the new world is rapid learning, deep and meaningful learning by organizations to put the strategic requirements in place as quickly as possible. And nothing reinforces learning and new context like the creation and the playing of games.
People have played games throughout history, throughout human history.
Yeah.
We're drawn to play games. We're drawn to compete. We love games.
Yeah.
And it seems to be still one of the mechanisms or best mechanisms for really engaging and motivating people to explore and to learn and to test many, many different scenarios.
One of my favorite stories is the story of the King of Persia, who gave the gift of backgammon to the King of India. And in return, the King of India gave the King of Persian the gift of chess. The thing about games that I love is that they are heavily encoded with simple rules that lead to very powerful outcomes. If you think of chess and its few simple rules, millions of possible combinations for each game. Think of the game of Go, the Chinese game. Very simple rule set, about 7 different rules about how you place things on the matrix. One of the most complex games known to man because of the way it plays out. And it's these simple, small rules, the power of small things that have complex and powerful generative impacts that is at the heart of some of the skills needed by new leaders. Nudging is one example that we talk about a lot in the book. Paul?
Yeah, right. And about personalizing the experience. So Coca-Cola, master marketeers, right, had a wonderful campaign called Share a Coke. And if you remember, you could go out and find a Coke bottle with your name on it. Sonia, Connor, Gareth. And people were actively out there. Have I collected my Coke? Mm-hmm. Have I found my Coke?
Or giving it to each other as a present as well.
As gifts. So personalizing experiences, using games and incentives, competitions and awards, these are the sorts of things that nudge behavior and can help leaders nudge their organization in an ethical way towards the type of future they're looking to create.
I was thinking recently in the press here, I don't know if you've seen Banksy, the famous artist, was sold at auction and he got a huge amount of press because at the point that his latest work was sold, a button was pressed and the thing entirely deconstructed and went through a shredder live in the auction in the auction room. On the one hand, he destroyed a piece of art that had been paid a lot of money for. On the other hand, he's had over 200 million hits of people viewing this particular action, and the work is now worth who knows how much more as a direct result of this thing. Think about Banksy, though, an absolute genius at getting attention and the power of small things to make an enormous impact across a global media field.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that we're always looking for is what are the small points of leverage that can help unleash massive change in a controlled, manageable way. And we love to think about the trim tab. The trim tabs, the rudders on the back of the huge tankers, the rudder to the rudder that helps move the ship. Or on airplanes, the same, how they trim towards their destination. These sorts of small levers are the ones that are the levers that help shift.
Small levers drive big levers, which change the direction of the ship. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Cape Town in South Africa, and it took 3.5 hours for one of those big tankers to slow down and turn around the Cape of Good Hope so it could head up to the Gulf. And to watch these things work were painfully slow. Enormous 5-story rudders on the back of these huge tankers, but the rudders need a little rudder themselves to be able to turn the whole ship.
So we think that engaging and motivating the organization is about creating these connected environments, about making it visual and visible for everybody involved in a creative process, where they are, what their role is, and what's the next step. We love the idea of gamifying the work experience, and then using nudges to nudge along the way and to help navigate. As the organization's looking to get to the next level, build capability, and sustain the change, one of the first things that we see as important is about feedback, right?
Feedback's at the heart of everything. We're accumulating so much data these days. The question is, how does a leader ensure that the right data is being accumulated and surveyed and decisions made that have an immediate impact.
In many ways, leaders are faced with an overwhelming amount of feedback and data.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, how do you cut to the data that matters
correct.
The most?
And it can be paralyzing. We talk in the book about Narcissus and the mirror, and the idea of too much feedback in one go can be paralyzing.
Yeah. The question that a leader has to determine, which is also one of the new skills needed for the digital realm, is which data allows me to navigate forward and take us to where we need to go, and which data needs to tell me where we are today and what the implications are for what we have to do to get to where we want to get to.
And one of the most fascinating things about digital is it's not just retrospective. So feedback now is not just about reporting what was in the past. It can provide real-time information about what's going on now. And, of course, with
predictive
analytics, with machine learning, can start to indicate possible implications for the future. This is hugely useful for leaders that can use data to navigate successfully.
We think that one of the most important roles for a leader is to facilitate learning in the organization. Another competitive advantage for any tribe or organization is the ability to take strategic decisions and to implement them and to skill up as quickly as possible to get to those outcomes. And one of the key things is for a leader to not only model always learning, but to ensure that the platforms are in place for an organization to be learning in a powerful and ongoing way.
Mm-hmm.
We use the metaphor of the House of Wisdom, which was in Baghdad, which set up enormous opportunities for very clever people to work in one place and to share knowledge across disciplines.
It became a center of learning, right, and knowledge for the entire area.
And we still feel the effects of that knowledge today, especially in things like algebra, map making, language skills, and so on. Every organization will become a house of wisdom in many respects, facilitating knowledge sharing mm-hmm. and ensuring that people have disciplines that enables them to move forward and grow their field.
It'll be so much richer, won't it, in terms of what the organization collectively can do?
For sure. The thing is, people will only step into a new reality if they believe it's possible to get there, but also if it's sufficiently better than their current situation. So in addition to enabling people and providing them with the skills and knowledge they need to operate at a new level, digital can be hugely useful in bringing to life their future vision of the future. We talk about in the book some of the very visual things that have happened in history, from the Acropolis created by Pericles in Athens, who wanted to create an inspiring vision to unite much of Greece.
And embody the ideas of democracy and everything that Athens stood for.
Exactly. And today we see similar fantastic visual metaphors, such as the launching by SpaceX of a Tesla Roadster into space. Why was that done? Marketing, perhaps?
Well, these are statements, aren't they?
But it's a statement of something that creates the art of the possible mm-hmm. and something visual that people can believe that something different might be possible to
achieve.
And
whether you love Elon Musk or hate him, you have to admire his ability to get everybody's attention, do very large grand gestures, and to make people believe that it is possible to live on Mars.
Sure. With digital, we no longer have to build new cities or physical monuments to fire imagination. We can create powerful and immersive stories that extend reach into every part of the organization in a very deep and meaningful way. It means that we can engage every individual in building the future we want to create together.
How do you build a movement, and how do you get lots of people to come to your flag? Because the future of work is multiply different from what it is today. Many people will be working for you who may not have full-time contracts. They might be just working for you for a while, but then there's going to be a completely shifting realm of people with various contracts and relationships to your tribe. But you need to create a meaningful movement that really fires up people's imaginations and brings them along with you. That is the role of the leader, to lead this vast amorphous mass as it moves forward. We like the story of Lysistratus, who was trying to get the warring men to stop fighting and lay down their weapons, because the women were tired of it. And what she said was that to all the ladies, you need to withdraw favors from men until they lay down their weapons. And of course, they did, and she stopped the Peloponnese War.
That got their attention.
She certainly got their attention. How do you get to the next level? How do you build a movement? We're inspired by things like the Renaissance, where people started to bring together disciplines from all over the place and create very high-level, high-quality works of art that inspired generations to move forward.
So for leaders leading in the digital era and looking to activate their organization, we've talked about three different main areas around how leaders get their organizations to make decisions and execute, how they engage and motivate the people that they're working with, and then how they create a culture of continuous learning so that the organization builds capability to get to the next level. In the end, and in every story that we've looked at, the most successful ones are the ones that put people at the heart of the change or the transformation that they're undertaking.
There are a set of new skills that are needed by leaders, and they include things like wayfinding, creating the spine, building together and allowing that things need to be constructive, designing work around people's lives and allowing their workforce to be completely flexible, adaptability, and considering the organization is basically a piece of software that plugs and plays to get things done. To engage and motivate, you create connected theaters of work around the world. You encourage people to build beautiful things and the language associated with that. And you play the game and you gamify the things to enable deep memory and learning. Using the power of small things to nudge and transform and get the organization where it needs to be. And to get to the next level, you want to navigate with real-time information. You want to transform learning because that's at the heart of everything that's required to achieve your results. And you want to create meaningful alternatives for people that motivates them to go to the next level and that turns them on.
Mm. Thank you so much, Paul and Garrick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to a Ludic podcast. It's called Alive, Digital Humans and Their Organizations. Thank you for joining us. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts on this and joining us the next time.